So a viable petitioner has to show good moral character for the previous 3 years before their filing. There's a whole laundry list in the INA. Some noteworthy ones are fraud. You might see fraud or previous criminal history and confinement. You don't have to show that a waiver would be approved, but you have to show that a waiver would be available, and you're focused on the 3 years previous to filing. With the packet, you're going to file the I-360, which is a form that's used for lots of different case types, so just be cautious as you're completing the form and paying attention to what sections are relevant for your client or not. There's no fee for the 360. If you're filing a one-step or 485 based on VAWA, you have the 1225 fee, and you might, in a VAWA practice, be filing a lot of fee waivers. Of course, the fee waivers, if you do this, you know that the fee waivers have been getting rejected sort of across the board since the summer, and so there, you know, it used to be you could just show receipt of public benefits and it would get right through, and that's not really the case anymore. And then another point, we talked about this yesterday, but if you're going to be submitting any proof of receipt of public benefits to USCIS right now, you need to make really sure that there was no fraud on the application for those public benefits, because that's a huge priority item for this administration right now. The standard is any credible evidence for a VAWA application, and that basically means whatever the heck you can come up with. So obviously a great case is when you have, you know, a police report, a medical exam, maybe a hospital record, a trial transcript, but a lot of VAWA cases you don't have that, because remember, you don't need physical violence. You can just focus on emotional violence. Oh, and I remember what I was going to say about that is that sometimes when you're talking to a client who hasn't necessarily been hit or pushed, you have to start having a really delicate and sometimes difficult conversation with them about the sex life with the abuser. Because I can't tell you how many times I've talked to potential VAWA clients who say they've never been hit, and then you start to ask them what their sex life was like, and regularly they were forced or had sex against their wishes. And so you do want to have those conversations with your client about what their sex life was like. And also in the case of a male self-petitioner, I've had a few cases where, you know, the very private sex life details was actually what made the case winnable. So back to the credible evidence, you're going to have, in a case where there's not traditional physical violence, you'll need to get creative about what evidence you're going to submit. And many times you're going to have a client who has like text messages or voicemails or even videos, and it's up to us to be creative about how to get that stuff into the Vermont Service Center. You can transcribe a voicemail and submit it. You can take snapshots of a video and do a description of what's in the video. But if that's all you've got, definitely figure out a way to send that in. You can't send in, you're not going to send in an electronic file of a video, but you can figure out ways to get the description of it into VSC. And then this is where I talk about the RFE and the NTA memos. Most of the panels, I think, have discussed these two memos that came out, I think, in June and July. But they definitely are going to apply at the Vermont Service Center in, you know, VAWAs and Ts and Us. And essentially what that means is no more skeletal applications. Don't submit an application if you know that something is missing. Make sure that you're submitting full applications. And then if you have a client who's got criminal convictions or other concerning sort of background facts, be really thoughtful about whether it's a good idea to submit this application, because gone are the days where, you know, you were safe to submit an application to VSC because they didn't refer to removal, even on denied cases. I think that safety blanket no longer exists, so you need to really think about that, and of course have very honest conversations with your client about what the outcome is going to be if you file and they get referred for removal. In your packet, you have to approve the abuser's status. Most of the time, you're not going to have a copy of the birth certificate because the client didn't know that they needed that before they left the house. You can submit to the Vermont Service Center a little affidavit just asking USCIS to investigate or look up the petitioner, or excuse me, the abuser. You know, what you want is their name, date of birth, place of birth. Hopefully you have their social security number. That would be helpful. You have to prove residence together and good faith marriage. A lot of that evidence is going to overlap. And then evidence of the extreme cruelty. again, in the case of an application that doesn't have physical violence, and even in cases that do have physical violence, if you don't have a lot of proof of that violence, you're going to want to get a psychological evaluation. And a practice pointer about that is to make sure you have a good relationship with your counselor, your psychologist, and you've talked before they start their work on what you